Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing in your sight, my Lord, my strength, and my Redeemer. Amen. Life is short. Life is short, and we do not have too much time to gladden the hearts of those who travel the way with us. So let us be swift to love and make haste to be kind, and the blessing of God will be with us. These words have appeared in several slightly different forms over the years, with various authors being given credit for having written the original blessing. But the ideas conveyed within are certainly not new. In the early chapters of Genesis, God tells Abraham, "I will bless you, that you may be a blessing to others." These two actions seem firmly bound together. The act of our being blessed by our God and our efforts to become a blessing to others. Now, Cheryl and I share more than a dozen grandchildren, and we see them as often as we can. And each new greeting usually starts with a hug. One of the youngest among that grouping is a little boy named Hayes, who is barely 3 years old. Each time I see him, he rushes forward with anticipation and a great big smile, wrapping himself around my legs. He hangs on until I reach down and hold him close. He is so intent in that expression of physical affection, receiving his hugs always softens my mood and, well, it warms my heart. And I've often wondered, in those special moments, who is blessing whom in that exchange? There are special moments where love received is love that is shared. It's just that simple, yet just that profound. Our first reading today from the Song of Solomon, which I've come to understand is a favorite reading with many teenagers when first being introduced to the Bible, it provides us with a strong expression of the giving and receiving of love. While interpretations may vary, the heart of the imagery would seem to be the blush of first love, ignited by the simple holding of a new love's hand for the very first time. The passage invites us to share the growing excitement in the author's mind just at the thought of the approach of her beloved. Well, we can muddle through the shoulds, the couldas, as well as the wouldas, and not to mention the uh-ohs of any such new relationship. They can truly become very complicated. But our very human soul seems to reveal that simple, mysterious act of surrendering one's heart to another, all for no other reason than the simple joy that giving and receiving love brings to us. Moments where love received is love that is shared, each partner blessing the other with that special gift as our God has blessed us. But the blessings we share need not involve only those and close personal relationships. Consider our lesson from James's gospel, heard here this morning. He encourages us to be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. James tells us to look beyond the differences that threaten to isolate us from each other. He calls us to sit down together at the table so that we have a chance to see that we have much more in common than that which separates us. He tells us to be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger, for anger does not produce God's righteousness. But sharing God's blessing with others is a way of also sharing his love. Love is the cornerstone of the lessons that Jesus taught. At the Last Supper, he provided his followers with a new commandment. You remember, he said, "Love one another as I have loved you." His emphasis on approaching others from a perspective of love and compassion may be the main reason he had so little patience with those who cared only for themselves. Our world has always been full of those who look down on the less fortunate. Today's gospel tells how the Pharisees traveled from Jerusalem to find Jesus. They did not come to seek a blessing or to celebrate his new ministry. They had established themselves as the defenders of the purity codes, which governed so many details of everyday Jewish life. Appearing as inspectors, they were prepared to offer condemnation for any fault that they might perceive. Closely watching Jesus' followers, it took them no time at all to offer their complaints. But for all the Pharisees' earnest and concern for the purity codes, they appear blind to the real needs of the people. Jesus speaks out fiercely against their short-sightedness. It is the spirit of the law, not the letter of the law, where God's will is to be found. The point Jesus was trying to make was that pure and undefiled religion has to do with caring for others in need. It really offers no rewards for stressing over religious practices. The Pharisees, they see unwashed fingers and pots, but seem totally blind to anything else. Now, washing your hands before eating is a good idea, especially if you're going to be using your fingers instead of a fork or a spoon. It's also a good idea to clean out your cooking pots before reusing them for the next meal. But what truly makes us Christians is not ritual or customs, like how we eat or what we try to impose upon others. In the end, we will find what defines us is the strength of our faith in the blessing of the great redemptive love that calls us into being. With it comes an understanding that we can be reconciled to one another. For when one's life is truly converted by God's Spirit, the actions our God yearns for us, well, they'll become second nature. It is what comes from inside, from the center of our hearts, that will change and quicken the heartbeat of our lives and the lives of those we may encounter. Jesus has reassured us that we don't really need to worry about whether we get all the rituals exactly right. What we need to consider is how willing we are to reach out to the people whose lives are different from ours. The blessing of love received from God, love from those dear to us, it's all love to be shared, something precious for us to pass on. Well, okay, yes, I understand that we are all busy in the daily detail of our lives. We all have places to go, things to do, and people to see. The day just gets started, and before we know it, that day is done. Weeks pass and turn into months, and the blessings we might have shared become just a distant memory. Well, speaking of memory, I will share one of mine. There were four children in my family as I grew up. I was the oldest, and my brother was the youngest. We were not really close in the way that most brothers probably are, because I was so much older than he was. I was entering junior high when he was born, and by the time he was starting grade school, I was off into military service. After that, there was college, and then the responsibilities that came with beginning my own family. They lived in a different state, but he and I visited from time to time, but we shared very few adventures or long conversations the way I expect brothers are supposed to. Then, one day, back in the mid-1970s, I received a phone call informing me that my younger brother, at the age of 13, was dead. There had been no forewarning. It came as a total shock. And for years after, I anguished over trying to remember our last conversation together. Try as I might, I have never been able to remember what I might have said in those last precious moments with my brother. But I'm pretty sure that I didn't tell him that I loved him. In fact, I'm not sure that I ever told him that. But I sincerely hope somehow he knew that I did. Remember, life is short. We do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who travel the way with us. Simply, oh so very simply, let us be swift to love and make haste to be kind, and the blessing of God will be received and given by one simple gesture in our relations with others each and every day. Yes, it really is just that simple and just that profound.